So let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, we just thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the good things that we're learning this week. We thank you for the speakers and all the hard work that they've put in. And I just thank you for the things that we're learning. We hope we can put these things into practice as we try to help other people. And I pray, Father, that you'd give us help during this time. Give me wisdom. Please help Lydia as she gives her testimony today. And may the ladies just be blessed by this. May we just be humble and teachable before you. We love you, Lord, and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to talk about how a wrong view of God affects counseling. Why do counselees come see us? I think that's primarily because they're going through a difficulty. They're going through a trial. They may be having a crisis of faith. They don't usually come to see us when things are fine, right? They're not sure how to handle or think about or process what's going on in their lives. And some of this could stem from a faulty or a wrong view of God. So we want to help our counselees as we share God's truth with them to correct their faulty thinking and help them to live lives that bring glory to God. We want them to learn how to biblically handle and process the trials of life that God allows into their lives, and how he wants them to respond. So when we're going through really dark times and really heavy trials, trials really reveal what we believe about God and what's really going on in our hearts. And so when our counselee has faulty beliefs regarding God, this is going to be a little bit more challenging for us. Incorrect beliefs have to be explored, and we're going to really need to depend on the Holy Spirit to really get a hold of their hearts and their minds. Because if you remember, we can't change anyone, right? We're just instruments there. So I've given you in your notes some of the faulty beliefs that we have about God, and I want you to be thinking about those too, okay? So here are some that I thought of that a counselee may bring into the counseling room. God expects me to earn my salvation. Another one, I could lose my salvation if I'm not obedient. If God were truly good, he wouldn't allow so much evil in the world. God loves me only when I obey him. If I have enough faith, God will heal me. And Dr. Svensson talked to us about that. God may have saved me, but he's disappointed in me. I have to earn God's favor. Some believe that God is a harsh taskmaster, hard to please, and expects me to keep all his rules perfectly. God is distant. I think Kelly said that yesterday. Remember in the live counseling, she said God feels distant. He doesn't seem to care about me or what I'm going through. God can't always be trusted. Look what he did to his own son. God could never forgive me for what I've done. After I've sinned, I have to do enough penance so I could feel better about myself and feel acceptable to him. My life is hard because God is punishing me for my past mistakes. God has let me down. I trusted him and I thought I was following his will for my life, for my marriage, my career. All of it has been a disaster. Since God is sovereign, he could have prevented the hurt that I'm enduring. And I'm angry with him. How about this one? And I didn't put this in your notes, but I thought about this later. God made a mistake in making me the gender that I am. God made a mistake there. The truths I read in Scripture don't line up with my experiences, and we're going to talk about that. God would never condemn people to hell. I'm afraid of what God might do to me if I sin. Here's another one that I don't think I put in your notes. I should be able to understand what God is doing in my life. He owes me an explanation. But there are, so what about you all? Can you think of other faulty beliefs? She had a counselee.
Yes.
A counselee said God was a glory hogging narcissist. Hoo-wee. I wonder what scripture she would back that up with. Who else? What are some more faulty beliefs? That's right. Let go and let God. Okay. He never answers my prayers. Boy, that's a hard one. It's a painful one. Oh, yes, you bet. He wants you to be happy, and that's in my notes too. Okay, so here's some more. And this is kind of on the flip side of that coin. These are kind of the people, I don't know if you've ever read Counsel from the Cross, but she talks about Elise Fitzpatrick and somebody else, I don't remember, it'll come to me later after I leave here, wrote this Counsel from the Cross. And she talks about a sad moralist, that's kind of the person I've just described here, and the happy moralist. If you've read it. So here's some more kind of on the prideful side. Of course God loves me. Why wouldn't he? God knows my heart, so I'm okay. God helps those who help themselves. God is here to solve all my problems and make my life happy. God is not concerned about the sin in my life. He understands my weaknesses. He doesn't want me to feel bad when I mess up. God is here to fulfill every wish of mine. God is attentive to my every need. God desires everyone to be healthy and wealthy. And God wants me to be free of legalistic rules. Can you think of any others in that vein? Okay, we'll keep moving. So the kind of relationship we have with someone is very much influenced by what we believe is true about them. And our assumptions about God will greatly impact how we think about him, how we relate to him, how we'll experience trials as well as blessings, what he prints in our lives. It'll even affect the way we pray. Here's a quote from a book by Daniel DeWitt. It's called Sketchy Views of God. If you don't properly understand God, you'll never really understand yourself or the world in which you live. So I'm going to introduce Lydia now. She's going to give her testimony. She's a member of this church and been a friend of mine for a long time. And she's just going to talk about her experience, some of her faulty views of God.
I'm going to start back at the beginning. My childhood was very safe and happy overall, but I discovered early on in life that fear would be a natural and common struggle for me. This fear was reinforced by several outside factors, and even my choice for salvation was motivated by it. As I grew in my understanding of God and his word, I came to believe that my salvation was indeed secured forever by Jesus' blood. But his favor, that was earned and secured by my daily Christian walk. This belief led to new fear upon new fear. My life in the following years, especially my teenage years, was ruled by fear. I hid every sin that I could. I was rigid in my choices, and I was exhausted in my efforts to maintain a perfect exterior. The God that I believed in was loving and providing salvation, but his affect towards me was severe, consistently disappointed, and distant. But God is faithful. And shortly after my graduation from high school, he provided for my introduction to biblical counseling, and with it, a path towards deeper understanding of his heart and character. In 2009, my exposure to biblical counseling led me to apply for an internship at Vision of Hope, and I moved to Indiana that summer. I was working hard to finish my counseling certification, and at the same time, I was sitting under teaching and counseling every day within my internship. I was observing life change and Christian lifestyles that were vibrant and free instead of oppressive and restrained. I was really confused. We studied the same scriptures, we said many of the same words, and yet our lives were lived in completely different realities. After nearly 9 months of searching the scriptures and poring over the material I was being introduced to and begging God to please, please just let me understand, he revealed to me the beautiful truth of justification. Christ's blood paid for my sins, yes, and his righteousness was also applied to to my life. God's favor and stance towards me is the same as it is towards Christ, because I am literally covered by Christ and his life was lived in my place. Suddenly, the God that I had served out of fear of destruction and retribution was a safe father to run to and live in relationship with. But God is faithful, and in his providence, the next portion of my life would reveal a need to accept God's heart, not just towards me, but towards other vulnerable lives that would enter my life. In 2012, in a very unexpected way, my husband and I were introduced to the world of foster care. A child was placed in our care, and I was suddenly exposed to a childhood that I had never experienced. A childhood with true physical terrors, and not only the spiritual fear that I had known. After several weeks of loving this little soul and attempting to provide physical healing and security, the situation shifted and I was placing a child back into a situation I knew was still unsafe.